Hey friend, we are in the final week of our signature program, Paper Camp. In Paper Camp, we teach product-based business owners how to get their products on the shelves of their favorite stores, big and small. Now, Paper Camp is an insanely comprehensive coaching program that focuses on both foundational and growth strategies for selling wholesale. And during Paper Camp, we answer literally hundreds of questions from business owners surrounding topics like product development, sales, marketing, and more. If it correlates to selling wholesale, we are covering it in this program. Now, this week on the podcast, we thought it would be fun to ask a few of our Paper Camp coaches some questions that we could share with all of you here on the podcast and really kind of give you an inside look as to what it's like being inside a Paper Camp and asking very personal questions about your brands. Now, the coaches featured in this episode are Teresa Delaney of Creative Kind, Kiwi Schalafel of Your Gal Kiwi, and Jen Palacio of Tiny Turns Papery. I will be sure to link all of their brands and their stores in the show notes, so please do check that out. So here's what I asked them to weigh in on for this particular episode. The first one I asked to Teresa and Kiwi, who both have product lines. Teresa also has a retail shop, so she has both a buyer hat on and a manufacturer hat on. But what I asked them was, what is something that you struggled with when you started selling wholesale that you also see our Paper Camp students struggling with? The next question I asked our speakers was, what advice do you have for brands that are working on refining and strengthening their product line? I also asked, what is a missed opportunity for wholesale brands when it comes to how they are presenting their work to stores? I specifically asked Teresa and Jen to weigh in on that as retail buyers. And what is something that you wish more brands would celebrate when growing their wholesale sales? Now, we won't be offering another round of Paper Camp until 2025. So if you are listening to this episode and you missed this round, be sure to go get on the waitlist at proof2product.com/papercamp. Again, that's proof2product.com/papercamp. Now let's hear from our coaches. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started.
I think that one of the most common things I see the Paper Camp students struggling with, that I know I definitely struggled with, is the fear of making a mistake. And it's never worded that way. It's never like, I'm afraid, because we're sort of taught that it's not fear. The fear will look more like, I don't know if I should launch wholesale until this, or should I do this until my website's exactly right? Or what is exactly supposed to be my catalog? Or what if I get a huge order, even though I haven't even started selling wholesale yet? Or, you know, what should my order look like? And what if I'm doing this wrong? And what if I don't communicate things right? And I think that we forget that perfectionism is fear. And this idea that we can prepare for every single thing, every eventuality, every variable, that we can already play out every scenario in our head and have answers to them before we've even started, is all fear. It's all anxiety, and all anxiety is fear. And I know that I struggled with this a lot and still struggle with it. And it stopped me from doing a lot of things that I could have done. For example, trade shows. I never did trade shows. And I always used to think, oh, I just don't like doing trade shows. But the reality was, I was just sort of scared of it. I was scared of spending all of the money at a trade show. I was scared of not being good enough. I was scared of not having everything together, scared of not being professional enough. And so it's really easy to just think of it all as perfectionism. And I used to think I was such a perfectionist, and I was so happy about being a perfectionist. And now, again, I realize perfectionism is fear, and it just stops me and everybody from doing things a lot of times until we have things exactly dialed in, exactly how we want them. And I think the thing I wish that I knew when I first started, and I hope that the paper camp students are understanding, is that mistakes happen. And just because you've been in business for longer or you're a bigger business doesn't mean that mistakes don't happen. It just means that you're better able to understand and handle when mistakes happen. And I didn't know that. I was so terrified of making a mistake. And I remember one time I was ordering 12,000 notepads, and I ordered 12,000 25-page notepads instead of 50-page notepads. And I had a huge breakdown, and I sort of sought some advice and counseling and took a step away from it and took a break from it. And then ultimately I got 12,000 more 25-page notepads and made it a bundle. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that the bigger you get grow, it doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. It just means that your mistakes are going to be bigger, but you're going to be better able to handle the mistakes. So if I were starting, I wouldn't try my best to not make mistakes. I would just try to figure out what I can learn from the mistakes that I've made, and also understand that everybody in business is human. And as long as you're communicating things, people will completely understand where you're coming from, and that you don't have to be prepared for every single scenario ever.
One thing I struggled with when I started selling wholesale that I see paper camp students come in struggling with is decision paralysis. When you start doing wholesale, whether it's an entirely new business and business model for you, or it's perhaps a new revenue stream or arm of your business that already exists, it's really easy to trip up on all of the decisions you have to make and all the questions you're trying to find answers for. Obviously, you can go to Google, you can go to your peers, you can go to Facebook, and you can start trying to search for answers, but the list of questions quickly grows very, very long. And I'm definitely seeing paper camp students come in with questions that range from what we think of as really basic to more advanced or sophisticated. And it just goes to show that even if you do know how to run your business and you're experienced in that respect, wholesale is a whole new game. And it's, again, very easy just to trip over little decisions you have to make as they start to add up, and that list of questions gets longer.
Advice I'd give to brands when expanding their wholesale product lines, or the product lines in general, is don't focus on what you think the market or trends are saying that are hot right now. So don't just do socks because socks sell well, or keychains because everyone's doing keychains. Make sure you're focusing on something that you're excited about, either product-wise or design-wise, or something that fills a problem that you're excited to figure out, whether that has to do with the actual product itself or the way it's displayed or what it looks like. I think that people who are going to buy from you and then will buy from the stores that carry your stuff are looking for something that is unique and has personality. And so your interest in what you're making will come through on that. So don't just make a notebook because you think you don't have any notebooks. Make a notebook because you might use a notebook, or there's a certain kind that you don't see out there that you would love to use. If you actually really do love Taylor Swift, then it makes sense for you to make Swiftie fan paraphernalia. But if you're not that interested in her music or what she's doing, don't just do a Taylor Swift drawing because a lot of people like Taylor Swift. Because the ones where it's clear that the artists really enjoy pop culture are the pop culture kinds of references that sell best, because they have an innate interest in that. And so when you're thinking about that sort of thing, don't feel like you have to follow whatever's viral or popular or in that moment just because other people are doing it, or it seems like that's the only way to come up with a new idea. Because trends come and go, but the reason why pop culture references that last is because the people who hold on to them are really sincere about it, even if they're very silly.
I think the biggest piece of advice that I have for brands that are working on refining and strengthening their product line is to do things with both data or research, however you want to refer to it, and intention a lot of times it's really easy to get caught up in one or the other. So for example, when I think of data or research, I would say if I want to increase my average order value, that's fully data research based. There's a lot of ways to do that. I could add a bunch of new categories. I could look at my price structure. I could sort of change packaging. But when I think about intention, that's actually like making sure that makes sense for me and my business and making decisions based on things that I'm excited about and things that I'm interested in, not just adding things for no reason. So one of the ways that I did that, that I feel like is still the best example that I can give of using both data and intention, was when I created bingo kits for my business. And the reason I wanted to create this sort of bingo kit was twofold. On the data and research side, I wanted to increase my average order value for my DTC customers during holiday. So there was that thought in my head of, I'd like to make sure people are placing slightly bigger orders because, you know, cards and stickers don't necessarily add up to a lot. And then secondarily, my intention was, I want people to get together and laugh in real life. I want to create something that will help create sort of a date night. And if I'm really honestly being very honest, it's because I wanted my partner to watch cheesy holiday rom-com movies with me. And there was no way to get him to do that that wasn't coercion. And so that was one of the ways that I really wasn't even my partner. I just wanted somebody to watch cheesy holiday movies with me. So there was a lot of intention and excitement and like drive and wanting that product to exist that went hand in hand with the data and research of, I want to increase my average order value, DTC. And so these things together really made a really strong product that's still a really strong product that I've now expanded and hopefully will get to expand more. But it's not just following the whims of what's exciting to you. And it's also not just following the numbers or the data of what we think we need to add. It's actually paying attention to both of them. So a lot of times, if you can figure out why you're excited about something, and if you can figure out what you need data-wise, you can sort of pair those together. And it just requires some reflection and patience. And that gets easier, again, as you're a little more seasoned, but not just following one or the other, because sometimes that can lead us down traps, right? If we're just really excited about something, but we're not really paying attention to the data of it, that can sometimes be a pitfall. If we're only paying attention to the data, but we're not excited, we're just doing things because we feel like we have to, that can also lead us to traps. So understanding both and making them work together is something that I think will really help people create products that stand out amongst everything else in the market.
If I could give one piece of advice to brands that are working on developing and refining their product line, it would be to keep it simple. As you're getting into wholesale, it can be a large undertaking. And I really believe that you should perfect what got you into wholesale in the first place, really build strong relationships with your manufacturers, build strong systems, build strong marketing outreach, figure out where your brand belongs in the stores that you want to align it with. And honestly, as you start making sales, those additional extensions to your product line can be informed by data and by research and not simply inspiration. I absolutely believe there should be a balance of both. But when you're just starting out, have that one single focus, and then you can start to expand in your own time and really intentionally versus getting caught up in that comparison game of seeing how many categories another brand might have. Just focus on what you're doing best and then add new lines when the right time comes for you.
I think a missed opportunity for wholesale brands when it comes to how they present their work, at least the way it's been presented to me, is when it isn't clear how it might fit into my store or how to best display it or what it's used for. And while it might seem that a lot of things are obvious, it always helps to have an idea of how it would fit, so that I can show my customers how it will fit into their lives. So whether that's giving the opportunity for cross-selling or showing how you might gift a candle with even another brand's matches, if you don't make matches, showing lifestyle photos and ideas of when, if it's a seasonal thing that isn't so obviously seasonal. Or a great thing is a lot of stationery brands have cards that can work for birthdays, but also work for New Year's. And that can work as a thank you, just because, or everyday card. And having that idea and other ways, things that wouldn't be maybe as obvious or might need a little education, to make that purchase easier for the buyer, is to show them how that purchase would be easy for their customer. I think that's usually what's missing for, say, a new product line or a type of product I don't typically use, or if I am unsure of how much space I have in my store, not having that little extra push of how it might realistically fit or look or be used might be the thing that pushes me over the edge with one brand versus not making a decision to buy on a given day with another brand.
This might be exactly the opposite advice that people have been given in other courses or seminars or whatever, but I think one of the biggest missed opportunities for wholesale brands of when it comes to how they're presenting their works to stores is less worry about presenting this air of like super professionalism and I know exactly what I'm doing, because a lot of the time these things can sort of seem robotic and devoid of personality. And I think that leaning into your humanness can actually help your brand shine, especially when you think about how many emails and pitches and how many things come into a wholesaler's, retailer's inbox that they're constantly presented with things. And if you're a little bit weird and your brand is a little bit weird, your email should be a little bit weird. Your catalog could be a little bit weird. None of it has to follow this exact formula, because that's what the beauty about the thing that you do or whatever makes your brand unique or what makes you unique. And I think one of the ways to figure out how you can apply that is to think about the things that catch your attention and why. So whether you're walking in a store, whether you're thinking about the emails that you receive, it doesn't have to be the exact same thing, but sort of pinpointing, like, was it the color? Was it the messaging? Was it the packaging? Was it the way they worded something? We're all living in an overstimulated world where we're constantly faced with so much stimulation. So paying attention to what stands out and understanding the why that stands out to you can actually help you put more of that into your emails or communication or marketing or whatever else to help you stand out amongst all the other brands that are vying for people's attention.
A missed opportunity I see for wholesale brands when it comes to how they're presenting their work to stores really stems from not having great exposure to how customers shop their work. Naturally, there are brands that get into wholesale after doing direct consumer sales, or that kick off with a few stores already carrying their work from relationships they had. But I don't think enough wholesale brands consider taking advantage of pretty easy, low barrier to entry channels for testing how people actually interact with what they make. And it really could give them so much more knowledge around the packaging that works best and the pricing and how to talk about it and how their customers like to talk about it. An easy way to do that is through things like local art markets. You don't have to be trying to build a direct-to-consumer model. You can still be very much focused on wholesale as your end game. But even just by doing that, you get to see how the average person walks up and interacts with what you're selling. And we know if there's one thing about retail buyers, it's they want a product that sells, and they appreciate being given as many tools as possible to help it sell. That's going to help them be more amenable to your brand. And if you know exactly how to talk about it, you know how people interact with it, it really helps you resolve all those questions about, is this the right price, the right packaging, the right number of items in a unit? It can help you address all of that, so you don't even have to think too hard about those questions when you're preparing to approach stores.
There are a lot of things that I wish brands or people would celebrate when they're growing wholesale. The biggest one that I wish people could celebrate more is when business owners, CEOs, whatever, people who are selling wholesale sales, the thing I wish they would celebrate more is when they make things easier for themselves. It's really, really easy to celebrate numerical goals, like you hit a certain amount of stores, you did a certain amount of revenue, but it's a lot harder to celebrate how you made things easier for yourself, whether that was packaging that doesn't take as much time or it costs less, whether it's you hate spreadsheets and data, or you hate your financial data and outsourcing that, whether it's hiring help, whether it's, you know, anything that makes your life a little bit easier is something that I really think should be celebrated. And especially because those things can be emotional and we're so used to just chugging on to pay attention to only goals that are really tangible. But generally, I think I wish more small business owners, when they're working on wholesale, I wish they just celebrated a lot of the small wins, whether it's it feels easier to pitch stores or rejections don't hurt as less, or, you know, I continue to pitch somebody even though I hadn't heard from them and they ordered. It's all of these small things are such huge wins. And it's a lot of the things that feel small can actually be the things that make the biggest difference in our business life. And so I hope that people are able to celebrate more ease and things just feeling a little bit easier, because they do start to feel easier the more you do them and the more intentionally you think about how you want your business to look and how you want your life to look.
If there's one thing I wish more brands would celebrate when growing their wholesale sales, it honestly would just be every new account that they get and continues to reorder. And I say that from the perspective of someone doing wholesale and also from the perspective of a buyer. For us, it's an investment as a store and as an independent small retail store. We're choosing our vendors pretty intentionally. We're doing a lot of research. We're comparing them to tons of options. So when we make that leap and we invest in a vendor and we continue to invest in a vendor, we see it as an important relationship. While I feel like most vendors reciprocate those feelings and express them, there's also a lot of vendors that we don't get that impression from. And you really are one of 500 or one of 1,000 or one of 5,000 stores that they are selling to. But when you're in those early stages, you really get a chance to connect and feedback into those relationships, even if it's just a personal email response to an order, or it's a comment on a social media post or a DM or anything like that. It's just nice to see that they see you as a person as well, the brand and the vendor individually. And you can have that really nice feeling of, hey, we're helping each other out. We're supporting each other here. And we're keeping something alive that we both believe in, which is indie retail.
Thanks for tuning in today for a behind the scenes look at what we're doing inside of Paper Camp and hearing directly from our program coaches. Whether you are new to selling wholesale or looking to expand your current wholesale sales and marketing strategies, we have the answers for you waiting inside of our Paper Camp program. We are currently wrapping up the 44th round of this wholesale intensive. Paper Camp is the longest running, most trusted, comprehensive wholesale program out there. So if you want to see your products on the shelves of your favorite stores, you want to join the waitlist for the 45th round. You can do that by heading to prooftoproduct.com/papercamp and add your email. Joining that waitlist gets you a few things. You'll get early access to tickets when we enroll for the 45th round. And while you wait for that to happen, we will share lots of strategies, case studies, wholesale updates with you each and every week. So again, that's prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. Thanks so much for sticking around till the end. I'll be back next week with another new episode.